Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dagdag.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you in this beautiful night. It is March the 20th of the year of our Lord 2021. And I know that my producer and my co-host, Christy Johnson, is so excited about her birthday coming up. I don't know when or where. So because I'm not going to remember, we just go ahead and sing happy birthday for her tonight.
No, it's not even until next month. You're not singing. Saying this month?
Then
so
we will wait.
We'll wait
next month.
You I
have
told
to
you
remind
March
me now if you don't.
I'll remind you. Don't worry, forget about it. It's a long time.
Tell me again, just before you take me with a loud voice. When you were born, tell me again. Not the year, just the day and the month. It's April what?
The 16th.
Hello? April 16th. Guys, please, somebody email me or somebody call me on the 15th or on the 14th so we can sing her happy birthday on the right day, okay? All right. You know what, Christy? I am back in Missouri after being in Minnesota, Wisconsin. It was beautiful. 2 weeks. I went there supposedly to speak just in a couple meetings, and the Lord opened it from 2 meetings to literally 7 meetings. It was awesome.
All right.
I spoke. New meetings. I met with new people. I love the people of Minnesota. The people of Minnesota feel the sorrow, feel the pain, feel the problem of having Biden and Kamala Harris and the rest of the garbage team of the Democrats. They're nothing but the scum of this country. Remember Hillary used to call the Republican the scum people, the Walmart people, the smelly people? I think, and now I see, and I wish to remind our wonderful audience between here and 2022, because trust me, Christy, before 2022, you're going to see so many of the Democrats moving to the center. Actually, so many of them are going to be praising Trump. They're going to be saying, we have a problem with the Democrat Party. Vote for me so we can fix it. And I am a Republican. And I'm going to be very conservative. I'm going to make sure we're going to do Trump agenda. I'm not surprised by the 2022, that's a year and 7 months or 8 months from now, you're going to see so many Democrats pretending to be Republicans. Not just Senate. They're going to move all the way to the right. They're going to curse Biden. They're going to curse Kamala Harris. They're going to curse the Democrat Party for the crisis they are creating for us right now. And after the dumb American people vote for them again, you may kiss this country goodbye. If we cannot get rid of at least 70 or 75 congressmen and women of this garbage, destroyer, hater of our democracy, of our country, of our constitution, if we cannot get at least of 70, 75 congressmen and women and get rid of at least 8 to 10 senators, there's no hope for this country. And of course, we're not going to be able to get the Senate in 2022. I have to wait until 2024. But this is it. I mean, Christy, I mean, you cannot be stupid anymore to see what they're doing to the country and sit and relax and enjoy your cocktail. Yeah. Okay?
Well, Usama, I would suggest that you're exactly right. But there are things that many of us could be doing that we didn't really know about until we saw how this election was so unbelievably manipulated. And what I've learned is the very groups, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the very groups of community organizations that were associated with the Obama administration and his community organizations that he worked for, like ACORN. I worked for one of these agencies myself years ago. And I know that I was like a huge minority. I mean, there were very few Republicans or conservatives, whatever you might have put me at that time, I've always been a conservative. But those community organizations receive funding to do things to take care of this election. And I know these are liberal organizations. Like I said, this was Obama's background. This is the background of these community organizations. So, yes, there was a lot of reasons that we could have, if we knew ahead of time this was happening, we could have known we would run into a huge problem with the liberals dominating the votes, dominating how ballots were distributed, how ballots were harvested, how ballots in some cases were sent out pre-marked, or I'm sorry, let me get this straight. The applications to get a ballot by mail were sent out pre-marked, telling people how they needed to vote, and all they needed to do is send that in, and they would get a ballot, and then it was, see, this is how you should vote. So all of that going on, while Christians, and myself included, were thinking, you know, we'll pray, we'll stand up for what's right, we'll stand up for the Constitution, we'll get out and vote, and that'll take care of it. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There was too much corruption going on.
Does not work this way, Chris. It does not work this way when we have a corruption in election. And by the way, you know what, Chris? I grew up in Egypt. I was not born in America. I grew up in Egypt, and I know what it is to have a corruption in election. I mean, this is our normal. This is our normal life. Every 6 years when we go vote for our president, you can vote however you want to, you wish, but guess what? They already voted for on your behalf. It doesn't matter what you vote on the paper. And the way we lost our election to Mohamed Morsi, the president of Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim Brotherhood, jihadi, the way we lost this election is very similar to the way how Trump lost this election.
Yes.
Same way. It seemed to me the Muslim Brotherhood met with Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democrats. Hey, you know what? It's been working easy for years, and it's working wonderfully. Let's do it here in America. We guarantee you're going to win. Mr. Biden, you don't have to campaign. You have to just stay home, relax in the basement. Because you know what? If he did not stay in the basement in the last 6 or 7 months to gain energy, he would not be able to come down from this aeroplane, not to go up. He could not even come down of the stairs.
Yeah.
Because that's how sick he would be. He would not be able to make him. And I'm not saying that to mock him. I'm serious. If I am Hunter right now, if I'm Hunter, I'll go take my dad from the White House and say, Dad, you're going to come live with me in my house. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you all the need you have. No more of the stupidity of presidents. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing me. They're using you. They're mocking you. You're not doing anything you want to do anyway. You don't even know what you're doing, Dad. Let's go home, Dad. Forget about this White House. Enough is enough. But guess what? Hunter needs Dad so Dad can protect Hunter. And Democrats need Hunter and Dad so they can keep ruining this country. So it's working just wonderfully, Chris. It's working just great. All of them are hanging together and singing Kumbaya with the Muslims and the socialists and the communists. China and Russia, whoever else, will dance with them. It's over. It's over.
Well, Yusama, I wanna finish just a comment about what can Christians do now, because we didn't know what they were doing. But I will tell you, there is a man named Dan Schultz. He has a website. You can go on there to find out how you can be a precinct captain. These are positions with the GOP that there's 400,000 positions. 200,000 of them are usually vacant. Half of them are vacant. Your local GOP chapter has positions open that you can go and apply for, and they have to allow you to apply if there's a vacancy. All the details of how to do that in every single state are on that website of Dan Schultz. I heard about this on Steve Bannon's show, and a couple of other people have come on there to talk about how they've gotten on to be precinct captains. The good of this is they are the ones who choose who are your local GOP candidates to run for any office in that precinct. That means for school board, it means for city council. They are the ones that put candidates in the position. One of the things I've heard, which is, again, I don't know that it will change anything, but at least we can get more wise. We got to be wise as serpents, harmless as dogs, is those people who are in those positions year after year after year, they're like the rhinos. They want to pick those rhinos for everything. You need to get in there and start demanding principled candidates to run for these offices. These also are people who end up being delegates for the state that you're in when you go to put the delegate votes in for president. And I'm just saying, there's avenues to get more involved. And that is what has happened. We know the Muslims come to America and they get involved. They get involved in our elections. They want immigrants to come in to our country and demand their rights in America to vote. Goodness, if you don't stop this in your own neighborhoods and your own communities, and how do you do it? You can go out and protest, which look at the 1.5 million people that went out to support Trump in rallies all over the country he was supported. And what happened? The inside track, the manipulation of the election itself, and how do you stop that? We have to get into that. So there's lots of ways to do it, but I'm just saying that we got to pay attention. And I've got people going, you know, remember, Usama, we even had a caller who said, you shouldn't get involved in elections. We just need to preach the gospel.
Absolutely.
But,
nope.
But I think the scripture tells us that we're responsible for what's going on. And if you are a Christian and you can see what they are doing, what they are doing with the promotion of homosexuality, which we're going to talk a little bit more about that, what they're doing with now we're going to be paying for abortions for babies. And I have a article that tells us now that in the United States of America, they are aborting babies because that is not the sex they want. So can you imagine? And, you know, but God isn't mocked. They're saying it's primarily baby girls who get aborted because they want a boy. Well, you know, I thought about this all day. I was praying about it. It's so heartbreaking. Not that girls alone are being aborted, but just that any infant, any child created in the image of God, just innocently in the womb, is being murdered. It's a brutal murder. If you did what they do to a baby,
these people are sick, Christy. These people are sick.
I know. But
psychologically, mentally, they're sick.
When you indulge in those things, you do become mentally and spiritually sick. But what I'm saying is, if you did to a dog, an unborn dog, what they do to an unborn baby, there would be protests all over the country. They would be going, oh, torturing animals. How could you torture these innocent
little
animals?
You're not humane, Christy Johnson. You're not humane. You need to take care of the dogs and the cats and the mouse and the rat in America. But babies, who cares? They're not babies.
But
they're just people.
But the point that I was getting at is now they're going to be killing these babies, and maybe because they want a boy. Well, guess what? God isn't mocked. Your little boy, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 year old, when the school is going to come along and tell you that he wants to be a girl.
Exactly. And it is much easier to turn a boy to a girl by cutting something off. Otherwise, it's going to be harder to make a baby boy to a girl. Hello? Can't you see it?
I'm just saying, but think about it, how this is already happening. So we're going to kill the girls, and then the boys are going to want to be girls. I mean, I believe with all my heart, God watches and sees exactly what's going on. He is trying to get the attention of the Christian people, the people who know the Lord, so they can start taking a stand. And that includes in politics. I'm sorry if people disagree with that.
You know, there's no disagreement about what you're saying. But you know what? The scriptures teach we harvest what we plant. So right now we're going to get big and wide about abortion. Trust me, within the next 5, 8, 9 years, I don't know how many years from now, there are going to be demand of killing older folks. Older folks are going to give them the injection and put them to sleep, and that'll be the end of it. Because these people are demanding. Who?
Governor Comey already did that.
No, but he did it for the old people against the will of their parents, not legally.
Well,
he did it illegally.
I know.
I'm talking about it's going to be the law of the land. Anybody who reach out to 80, start maybe by 80, that's going to be your group, Christy. I'm sorry. I'll hide you in my house. But anybody who's 80, maybe 85 and older, these people don't need to live. And then as we go, the number gets smaller and smaller, 80, and then 75, and then 70. So if you're not bringing income to the country, we don't want you. If you're not giving us money, we want to out. If you're going to cost us a dime, we need to get rid of you. So we're going to kill the baby, and then we'll kill the old people, and then we have no country.
You know,
don't worry. Muslims are going to be in large groups. Christy, I challenge you to show me an abortion clinic in America where a Muslim lady in a hijab goes there to have an abortion.
Yeah,
I challenge you. Show
no,
me
that's
one
not happen.
Abortion
it's
clinic
not,
in the entire... 60 million we have killed already. I doubt of the 60 million babies we killed in America, there was one, not two, one Muslim baby.
No, I agree with you, Usama. That's not going to happen. But
and
you know,
and the day will come, Chris. Just let me finish this, if you don't mind. And the day will come, and the American people will slap their own faces by their old shoes. You got to take your shoes off your foot and on your face, and you slap your face for killing the baby, which you're going to be needed in the near future to save this country. And we wish we did not kill all the 60 and 70 and 80 million babies, because there's going to be Muslim babies destroying this country while we're sitting in our wheelchair, don't even know what to do. Go ahead.
Well, these are serious things you're saying, Usama, but they very well may absolutely come to pass and before we know it. And I think there's already a push in this worldwide antichrist system. Some people call it the New World Order, but this antichrist system that has no use for people who are older or infants in the womb unless they are promoting the non-citizen population to grow. You know, a lot of people are going, well, why is he letting in all these migrants and they've got COVID? Well, for one thing, they're putting a lot of them in Texas, and they know many of them have COVID-19. Of course, Texas, just like Mississippi, opened up completely.
Sure.
And I think it's retaliation against them for doing that. They want to spread the COVID virus in America again because they're worried that we're going to get back to normal and then they won't be able to dominate us by saying, well, stay home, we'll send you a check, don't go out to work, we're going to increase your unemployment. You're dependent on the government, the one that you pays your bills and takes care of you is the one that can destroy you.
It is exactly what it is. Every time Uncle Sam get involved and pay one bill, that bill will cost America its economic future. Just one bill. So this $2 trillion or $1.9 trillion, point something out of it to help the COVID-19, and the other $1.8 is waste. Which means destruction of economy. If we have another crisis like Corona in next year or so, and they spend another $2 more trillion, $3 more trillion, $5 more trillion, it will move from the $26 trillion to $46 trillion, which means America will not have enough money to pay the interest. We're not going to be able to make our payment, Chrissy. Right now, we're in a deep situation. It was going in the right direction under Mr. Trump. The economy was doing great until they created the hoax of coronavirus. It's a hoax. It's a joke. It's a powerful joke which destroys this country. And I believe 100%, and there's no doubt in my mind, that they will make another creation of another hoax to destroy this country even worse and worse. Hopefully they can win 2020 election. That's the whole point.
Well, you know, Usama, the whole thing about the coronavirus, we know people like Dr. Fauci, what is wrong with this man? He is making 400 and some $1,000 a year to sit up there and tell all of us that we're going to have to keep masks on even if you get a vaccination. And yeah. Rand Paul was really good and said, well, what is the point of getting a vaccination? Why would people go get a vaccination? And he said, you know, you're sitting here with two masks on. He said, you've been vaccinated. So let me ask you a question. Why are you putting on a show? Why are you putting on a show for people?
It is a show. Rob Paul figured out his number and know exactly what he's doing. It's a stupid show. When I travel right now and I see younger kids, I was in Minnesota last week, okay? And it came to the restaurant, 15 kids, all of them wearing a mask to go inside the Birkin's restaurant. And I was sitting with my friend, Brother Gary, and he's alive and well. We can give him a call and we'll prove that I'm not making this up. Well, they want you to wear a mask to sit into your chair.
Yeah,
but after
yeah.
they all sit on this big table, and they are all college kids.
Right.
They took the mask out, hugging and kissing and playing games with each other like nothing wrong. What is the stupid mask? What was the purpose of it? If you're going to walk from outside the door to the table and then hug and kiss and close each other without mask on the table for an hour and then leave and go home and have sex with one another. What is the mask?
Well, you know, Usama, this is something that, you know, various places in the country.
Are you seeing what's happening in Miami right now? I'm from Florida. Are you seeing what the youth of the college are doing in Miami right now?
Yes.
Are they wearing masks, Christy? Do you wear masks in Miami?
No.
But believe it or not, 90% of these kids are Democrats. All what they take is an email, a text message from Kamala Harris, and all of them will wear masks. They may even wear a mask while having sex together, group sex with wearing masks. That's how garbage these people are. They're immoral. But they wear the mask for one point, Christy. If I'm wearing a mask and a young kid like that, it means I'm a Democrat and you're stupid and you're wrong. I am good boy. I'm wearing a mask. You must be a Republican for not wearing a mask.
Well, Usama, there's so many things going on that are really concerning. And like I said, I put pictures of these migrants coming up to cross the border, and it is really disturbing because these individuals have been traveling under really difficult situations. Certainly, if there is a threat of COVID-19 spreading among this group, it's very real. Someone's going, how in the world are they social distancing these individuals when they've got them packed into facilities right now that are way too small? And then they're talking now about flying them to the Canadian border to process that.
Sure.
And
sure.
I mean,
sure.
There's so
why
much
not?
Crazy
why not?
Stuff. But
Why not send them to Saudi Arabia, where they have surplus money there? Can any Muslim country volunteer to take some refugees?
It's very crazy. But again, I believe we have to keep praying. We have to keep voting. But we need to find out more about our local laws in our states, because now it's like the governors, thank goodness, are going to have to step up to the plate and start protecting the states from some of these ridiculous federal rulings. And I'm thankful that there are some governors are doing it. I'm very fortunate that the governor here in Mississippi is taking action to protect girls' sports, among other things, to try and protect the state, the members of this state, and again, other states have taken these actions. This is why getting involved on the local level is important, and let your governors know what you want them to do to protect you from some of this stuff. But, you know, I heard something today, and I don't know why I didn't know this before, but, you know, I was talking about school and how the schools were getting so bad, and I got so frustrated about it. You and I were just talking about that before we came on the air. Well, the Department of Education, a federal department, didn't exist until more recent times. And it used to be, and I wondered, there's a National Teachers Association.
Yes, ma'am.
You okay? When I was in school, we had a PTA, and that was Parent Teacher Association, and it was all local people that were involved in deciding what happened in the school. Do you realize, Usama, that's why the curriculum is full of this garbage on Islam, because it's dictated from the Federal Department of Education. That needs to be done away with. There's nothing in the Constitution that establishes a Department of Education. Right there is one of your biggest problems in public school that's destroying our kids. And that needs to be gotten rid of. And that's something people can tell their congressmen and their senators, that they want the Department of Education abolished. Because when we had Trump in office and he appointed a Department of Education head, we were going to get some good policies. We were going to get the patriotic education, the 1776 plan that was all put together by a number of people who were putting together the truth about the American history. Well, now Biden's in, and he's putting all these liberal things in there. That's how all this junk about Islam got in our textbooks so fast. It's coming out of the federal government. I didn't realize that. But they need to eliminate the Federal Department of Education.
And
it
if they
evil.
Will not eliminate, if they will, they will not eliminate these garbage teams and these garbage people, for sure America will be eliminated. One of the two.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two. You're going to eliminate the country or eliminate the
wicked
part of our life. So.
They're trying to dictate this critical race theory into the school system, and we're going to play a little thing that you sent me. It's going to show you what else is going to be going on. It's not going on in the school system yet, but the books are there, and they're going to start wanting these kinds of books in the school, right? You want to set that up?
Before you play this, let me set it up. Here is a mama holding her baby boy. I'm guessing three and a half years old. I don't think he's older than that. On her lap, and he's having this book, which has the A for apple, B for boy, you know, to learn about the alphabet. And here we go. Go ahead, Christy, play for us how this new book is teaching our children. And the mama was so happy, by the way. She was so excited.
Oh, she loved this book. Yeah, you'll
hear
it.
She loved it so much. The mama is empty-headed. She has nothing between her ears. She has an empty box there and two ears and a mouse. Her mouse is moving. She's so happy with her boy.
Yeah.
But
and this,
she does not
this
know she is not only destroying the future of her baby, she's destroying the future of America with the garbage she's doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, this book, I put the cover on there, and here is this very smart little kid learning to read it.
Sure.
Here we go.
A is for...
I lied.
B is for...
Five.
B is for...
Coming out.
B is for...
Glad.
C is for...
Equality.
F is for...
Family. Uh-oh. We missed a page.
G is for...
Game.
H is for...
Hope.
I is for...
Intersect.
K is for...
Cool.
K is for...
Cookie.
L is for...
Lesbian.
M is for...
Michael.
N is for...
Non-binary.
O is for...
Orientation.
Very good. Q is for...
Hey.
Q is for...
I don't know what...
That's okay. Q is for queer. Queer. R is for?
Respect.
S is for?
Fashion.
Fashion. T is for?
Fun.
Very good. U is for?
Unique.
V is for?
Vogue.
You know how to vogue?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Okay, turn the page. W is for?
Wonder.
X is for?
X.
Mm-hmm. Y is for?
U.
And Z is for?
Zen.
Zest.
Zest.
E-N. What was the name of this book?
The JBC.
You like this book?
Yes.
Are you a woke toddler?
Yes.
Can you say, I'm woke?
I'm woke.
God help us.
A lot of these terminologies you may not be familiar with, but there were a couple of words, a few words, maybe three, that did not have to do with some type of sexual identity. They used the word hope and joy and unique that were not sexual identity terms. All of the others were. And I wouldn't even know this except for my granddaughter when she was in college. She was telling us all these things they were learning in their sociology class about all these different terminologies for various types of sexual identity. This is sick. And this poor little kid, so smart. Isam, I agree with you. He was only about three, and that was quite a, you know, quite a lot of vocabulary for a kid that age to learn. And what kind of a mother?
That mother is sick in the head. That mother is empty-headed, number one. I guarantee you, that mama will offer that boy a chance to be a girl in the next few weeks. I guarantee she's already maybe bought him a dress and makeup. She maybe already bought him a dress and makeup, and by the time he reached 7 or 8, she'll bought him a bra. She'll make him wear a bra, okay? She put some cotton in a bra to make him look like a girl for good. These women are sick psychologically, spiritually, mentally, physically. They're sick.
But here's the other thing.
Girls like this should not be in any way close to little children like that. And when we say that, we are the radical. We're the extreme. We're the weirdos. She's good. And you and I are the bad person. How dare we are to tell that mama how to train her baby boy to be a baby girl or maybe one of these other sexes?
Well, I would say she's... Here's the thing, Isama. We don't know who that person is. There's not any details about this video, but it was done with a cell phone, and it was nobody was coercing this person to do this. But you don't know that this child might have been adopted by a gay couple. You know what I'm saying? This may not even
Everything is
that
possible.
Biological
now, do you
child.
Think, let me
so,
ask you a question, Chris. Do you think they will ever take this video off YouTube?
I doubt it.
Okay. I want you to bring one of your great-grandchildren, same age, and make an ABC book using biblical words for A and B and C and G and from A to Z. And you try to put it on YouTube, and I promise you, Christy Johnson, that video will be removed from YouTube by YouTube, and they will lock up your channel for forever. You make a bet?
Well, I mean,
For the fun of it, we can make a word from A to Z, biblical word. J is for Jesus, G for God, L for, just wonderful words. And I promise you, you put on YouTube, somebody's going to complain and somebody's going to remove your book, the ABC, the Christian way, out of YouTube. You make a bet?
Well, Isama, I just want to qualify this. I don't usually bet. Because I don't have anything to bet with.
I know, but
I understand.
Let's work on it.
But the point is,
A to Z, biblical words, and make a YouTube video like that, and we teach it to a little boy or a little girl, and put a video the same way. buy the same iPhone camera and download it like that lady did it with her garbage mentality and garbage sick head, and we put the Christian one online. I promise you. Some people are going to complain and say, we don't want our children to learn J for Jesus. Okay?
Well, we
don't
already...
want that.
We already know that that we have a lot of video that has been online of Muslim children reciting the Quran and all kinds of things like that. So we know these things are out there. But again, I agree with you. People will get offended when you promote Christianity or you promote the Bible or you promote the truths about what. You know, what if you just put a little book out there about there's really only two sexes? I would tell you that is for absolutely sure going to make people angry.
Yeah,
so,
B for boy,
you know,
and G for girl. That's it. Nothing between. A boy and a girl. A pink and a blue. Oh, now you crossed the line.
But listen to some of the things that are being said that are going under the radar because we just – hear a commercial and we don't, you know, you kind of tune commercials out, but there's a medication that they're promoting that will prevent you from contracting AIDS, okay? HIV. So because they do this promotion and they say something about this may not be effective for someone who was assigned female at birth. Have you heard terminology like that before until these last couple of years?
Brand new.
At birth. You were assigned to be a female at birth. You weren't a female, but you were assigned that. Is this nuts?
You know, Christy, God's my witness. That's the truth here. Vicky, my beloved wife, 4 or 5 years ago, she made that statement. She said that they will come and at the birth certificate for the small square for the sex, male or female, they're going to be writing in it to be determined later. And when she said that, it was like a stupid joke. I could not believe it. Now I can see it's happening. If you don't want to determine if your baby be a boy or a girl at birth, we'll leave the session, this square open. When that baby grew up to be maybe, 12 or 14 years old, he or she decided to be a he or a she or one of the other 28, then we can leave them to fill it later. Coming soon.
Well, here's the thing that I am very disturbed about is they're also wanting for teachers and the school system to be able to make suggestions about sexual identity, gender identity, and make cases for children to have this type of treatment leading up to surgery without the parents' consent. So we're not even talking about just, okay, there's crazy parents out there. We're now talking about this potential risk for school system, personnel, and counselors and whatever. And I already have experienced how precious that kind of authority can be on people who feel intimidated by someone telling them that they're not addressing their child's best interests. That is how they put it to parents. And let me tell you, if you ever hear a school say, we're looking out for your child's best interests, run. Run. This is why my kids did not stay in school. I had an issue with a teacher. And when they sat down to have a meeting with me over something and they said, oh, we're just looking out for your child's best interest, I got furious. And this is years ago. My kids are all grown now. They're all married. All except my son have kids. And I said, you just said what to me? I said, you're telling me you are concerned about my child's best interest more than I am? I'm sorry. I'm out of here. And I did. I pulled my kids out of public school at that point.
Good for you. Good for you.
I'm just telling you, this is how they intimidate you. Later, when I was working as a social worker, I would go to these meetings where they would be trying to assess what was being done for the children, and they would put this pressure on the parent and go, well, this would be in the best interest of your child. You need to consider this because this is the only way your child is going to be successful. It's that kind of pressure, parents. You know what I'm talking about, and that could be coming soon in your school with your kids or with your grandchildren.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Chrissy Johnson, we have one more thing I'd like to talk about. The other email sent to you. If you have this news to share with us, it'll be awesome.
Yes, just one minute. I have to address the chat room. One of my chat room people said, excellent, Christy, but I'd already written a comment. I said, that's right. You guys are awesome. That was for two or three comments above. I wasn't saying that's right. I'm excellent. Yeah, I was saying you guys are awesome because they're making
comments. Christy, we know how humble you are. Even if you don't mean it, we know how humble you are. I know. And
anyway,
a lot of people know how
humble
you are.
Thanks, guys. You are awesome.
Right.
Hey, wait. Before we go to this next thing, Usama, let's take this caller. All right.
Sure.
Caller, you are on the air with us. The last three numbers of your phone are 819. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you guys? I've appreciated listening to y'all. How is your night going?
So far,
it's going okay.
Good to hear from you.
So, yeah, so I would like to talk about, like, that I think that, you know, the only way, I mean, I'm not sure, like, if this goes with what you guys are talking about because I'm new to your show, but I personally believe that Islam is a wicked, accursed gospel. I think that Christianity is the only true path to heaven, and I think the Bible is very clear on that.
We're all with you on that. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We're going to be tonight a little bit later here. We're going to do a little bit study about the Quran in general. I have a few thoughts to share with you guys tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 thoughts, or maybe 8, about the Quran. when we talk about Quran chapter 50,
we can anybody with any basic knowledge. So I myself, I'm a Christian missionary. I've been to the Middle East. I've been to Jordan. I've been to Jordan. I've been to Palestine. I've been to Turkey. The Quran says, you know, in the surahs, you know, the fifth surah, it says for the people of the book to follow the book. But then it goes on to say the books are invalid. So if the Quran is true, why would it tell people to follow false gospels? So the Quran is, you know, to me, you know, Muhammad even said, you know, to his people, when he was first yoked up in the cave and told to recite, he thought he was, you know, possessed by a demon. It took someone three times yoking him up to recite. I think Muhammad was possessed by a demon. I think Islam is a demonic religion. I think Muhammad was a horrible, horrible man.
Yep. Can I say something, Usama? I want to clarify because, you know, when I write this stuff, the name of the program is Revealing the Truth About Islam, but the truth about Islam is everything you just said and more. It is evil, false, wicked. It came from a demonic force, and that is what we talk about. But we also talk about some current things and how Islam is impacting the world related to all these other things. And I'm only saying that in case what I wrote wasn't clear.
Well, I would go out on a branch and say, at least for Christians, you know, I do believe that Islam is an accursed gospel, but I do believe Muslims live a holier life. I would say that. Their works are better. Their spirit isn't better. No, I think Muslims do live a better life. They don't accept homosexuality. they don't accept you know all this.
Let me. I'm sorry to say that when you say Muslims do not accept homosexuality, Muhammad himself was a homosexual. Muhammad had a man in his house who was a gay. So when you talk about Islam
we're talking about Muslim cultures. I don't think that Islam is a
culture is a way of life. Do you agree with me? Where is the biggest people watching homosexual, lesbian, and gay in planet Earth? When you study the map of the Earth, and some people in America like to watch pornography. Some like to watch gay and lesbian. Some like to watch straight videos, whatever, pornography. Where is the largest city or the largest location in planet Earth where people watch gay and lesbian videos? Do you know where they're at?
I mean, probably Saudi Arabia or Tel Aviv, I'd say one of the two.
Exactly. Saudi Arabia, okay? Not Tel Aviv. Saudi Arabia. It is beyond. I mean, literally, if you number the number of people live in Saudi and the percentage to those who watch that lifestyle. Now, where is Muslim people living immoral life? When you talk about, you can say Muslim people are good people because they're not supporting gay and lesbian like American. Well, we as Christians, we do not believe in shooting and killing gay and lesbian. Muslims do that. So that is immoral.
That's my problem with you. It's not immoral. The Bible says that we should kill them. The Bible says that the state should execute them.
No,
not Christian. The Bible says that homosexuality is a capital crime, same as rape and murder.
The government should kill homosexuals. The Bible said a woman commit adultery be stoned to death. Did Jesus stone her to death?
Absolutely.
What?
What did Jesus?
Because I believe the Bible.
Did Jesus stone the woman who commit adultery? When we go to the Bible now, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees were testing Jesus, so they brought this woman who committed adultery, and she was caught in the act. And they brought them and said, Jesus, Rabbi, Moses said that woman to be stoned to be put to death by stoning. Did Jesus said, "Yep, everybody grab a rock, let's do it." Did Jesus?
What you're doing? You're conflating a personal mission with the state. So when Jesus said, "Let he without sin," throw the first rock, he's talking about people. He's saying we're all guilty of sin. But now let's go back to Romans 1, and Romans 1 clearly says that the Bible clearly dictates power to the government to execute people who are reprobate, people who commit adultery,
brother,
you're wrong. You're very, very wrong.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sister Christie. Thank you. We'll move on with our study. We do not, as Christian, believe in killing anybody for committing any sin. Okay? If the government would like to do the capital punishment for somebody who commit murder, that is up to the government. But I personally, if somebody harm one of my children and kill him, I will make sure that he will have enough time to hear the gospel and repent of the sin of killing my child. No, if the government will take him to kill him, I cannot do anything about it. But in Christianity, we do not believe in stoning a woman who commit adultery or killing any man who commit any sin, because these laws were taken completely out from the face of our Christian walk when Christ went to the cross to pay for the sin of the world. That does not mean that the gay and lesbian will not spend eternity in hell. For sure they will. As a matter of fact, liars. Revelation 21:8 tells us, even the liars will spend eternity in hell. How can a gay or a lesbian or a liar or any sin? Because in Christianity, there is no big sin or small sin. We do not have white sin and gray sin and black sin. Sin is sin. What is adultery? A man look at a woman with his eyes and lust in his heart. That's adultery. What is murder in Christianity? A man who stabbed a man with a knife? No. To get angry at your brother for no cause, you're committing adultery. Because the root of adultery is not a man has sex with a woman. The root is a man lust in his heart after looking by his eyes. So if we're going to commit the stoning for adulterers and let the government do it, every man who ever looketh at a woman by his eyes and lust in his heart should all be put to death. And guess what? You, my friend, you called a minute ago. I guarantee you, in your youth, in your life, even until now, you may have seen some nice-looking girl, and you looked by your eyes, and you lust in your heart, and you're an adulteress. Everyone is committing adultery. Everyone commits murder. So how are we going to judge the world? If we follow the scripture in the Old Testament, we're going to say, here we go. He did not speak to your mom and dad with respect. We take you outside the city and stone you to death. Lord have mercy. No, no,
that's
be
right.
One alive. No, no, be one alive.
Right.
But the judgment of God who will come to judge. See, Christ did not came first time to judge, but he come to save. But believe it or not, my friends, Jesus coming back, and when he comes back next time, he's not going to come the nice and loving and peaceful Lord who will sacrifice his life again on the cross. No, he'll become as a roaring lion. He will be the judge, the just judge, and all those who refuse to accept Christ, they will be slaughtered. Literally, they'll be burned in hell forever. Forever and ever. So some people don't believe in hell. That's okay. You don't have to believe in hell to escape hell, but you have to believe in Jesus to get to heaven. So we were in about to introduce another video. My friend, if you stay a little bit longer with us, you will hear a little bit more teaching about Islam, as we always do in our programs. So, Christy, what is you have right now for us?
Okay, you wanted to talk about another story that
sure.
We have, and I'm going to pull that up because...
In Islam, in the Muslim country of... Yeah.
Yeah, hold on one second. I had it, but I need to pull it up again. Oops.
Sure.
Hey, my computer,
no,
I think, is getting older than me. Is that the problem?
Older than you, Christy. There was no computer when you were born. I mean, that had to be a big computer as big as your house. I'm telling you. Yes, indeed. So,
all right.
Anyway,
it's a story.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Well, you can go ahead and set it up because you sent it to me. This is...
It has something to do with honor killing. It has something
yes.
to do with a man who literally his respect was gone because his daughter did not do what is right. Somehow, she dishonors the family and he have to take care of it. And that is the reality and the fact about how Muslims practice honor killing. As we see it here in America, as we see it all over the world. It's just a new story came up,
yeah.
And I would like you to share it with us, Sister Christy. That's all.
Okay, this took place in India, and
mm-hmm.
the story reads, a 45-year-old man was arrested on March 3rd for allegedly decapitating his daughter. Oops, my page is going wacky. After finding
his daughter.
Allegedly decapitating his 17-year-old daughter after finding her and her boyfriend in an objectionable position. The father...
Oh.
Yeah.
So you know what was happening, Christy? They were kissing, Christy. They were kissing. It did not say adultery. They were sitting in an awkward bliss position. And she, go ahead. But anyway, he lost his honor, people. He lost his respect. So what did he do to her?
The father of the murdered teen was reportedly found by police wandering through the streets while holding his daughter's severed head.
Oh, he's not holding the body. He's just holding the head. You know where we see this before, Christy? Where we see this before?
We've seen it before in England. Where
by
a nanny,
a Muslim who beheaded a British soldier. Remember
oh,
that?
Oh yes. Well yes,
remember
but
that.
we also had a nanny who beheaded a child.
Oh yeah. Yes,
remember
yes,
the
indeed.
Muslim
that's the truth too.
Nanny.
Yes. How about the Muslim guy who beheaded the lady in Seattle, Oregon? not Oregon, in Seattle, Washington State. Remember the man who worked as in the butcher's place there, I believe, for Tyson?
Yes,
and beheaded the one woman, and he was trying to behead another woman. How about the man who beheaded his wife at the Bridge TV station in New Jersey? How about, what do we see here? The norm. This is what Muslims do for honor killing or to honor Allah and to honor Muhammad. So what happened next, please?
Well, the story says that the man actually walked into the police station with his daughter's severed head. He's holding her severed head. And the amazing thing was that in this story, they never say anything about Islam. They never say anything about honor killing. But they did give the story that he told them that he did this because his daughter, you know, was with this man or
boyfriend.
Male or boy, whatever, boyfriend. And then they had a big problem because the police officer inappropriately handled the severed head. He wasn't treating it with the proper respect. I have no idea what this means. I mean,
he should hold it by both hands. He may be holding it by the left hand only. I mean, what's amazing is we're making a big deal about how the policeman will handle the head, but we're not doing anything about the man who separated the head from the body of his own daughter.
Yeah. It's just, you know, this is something that people don't realize when they talk about, like the man who was calling us, how they live such a moral life. Well, in the instances we know that honor killing has happened in America a lot of times. And like you said, the man who beheaded his wife at the Bridges Muslim television station.
And what's amazing about
this is Islam.
You know what I remember about Christy? You know what I remember about the TV? They were for almost 7 years speaking. Uh-huh. That was after September 11th. And they for 7 years speaking about the loving, peaceful Islam. For 7 years. They spoke against the beheading of Armstrong. Remember Armstrong, the guy who was a separate, what do you call this? Private workers in Iraq. He's like a trucker driver. And they beheaded him, Armstrong. Remember the military from Korea, Saul? And they spoke against these cases because they say this has nothing to do with Islam. Islam is love. Islam is peace. We don't behead, in Islam. This is unacceptable. Well, guess what? The same guy who running the TV station beheaded his own wife because she filed paper for divorce.
For a divorce, yeah.
I mean, her crime is she dishonored him for asking for a divorce. And she had the guts to find a lawyer to file the paperwork for him. So he said, honey, come, let's meet in the studio, sweetheart. We'll talk. I'll stand up here. Just come to the studio. She went to the studio, and she left two pieces, a head separate from the body. Now, do you know what happened to that man, Christy? Do you know what is the judgment we came? Are we going to kill him for any chance, any way? No.
No, okay. I don't know what happened to him because that story was reported
died.
If I hadn't gone on there to hunt it down right away, we wouldn't have even known the details of it.
But can you imagine with me now if that gentleman who is the owner of this Bridges TV, imagine if he's a Christian minister, say a Baptist minister or a Lutheran minister, some minister, and he beheaded his wife. Do you think it will be on TV? Do you think with the CNN and CBS and MSNBC and even Fox News, do you think any of these channels will talk about it for a good 4 or 5 years or 6 years or maybe 10 years?
I think you will see it over and over again. Every day on the anniversary of it, they'd be going,
You know, like I said before, I repeat again, if you want to commit a crime and get away with it, in America, okay, first thing, you need to be a Democrat. Second, you need to be a woman. Third, you need to be a Muslim, okay? Muslim, Democrat, woman. And what is the fourth? I can't remember. There are four things, Christy. Help me out, Christy. Democrat,
well, I'm try-
Muslim,
I'm try-
a woman. Yeah,
and
be a congresswoman. Like
and
Obama,
a Muslim.
Like a Muslim. A Muslim, Democrat, a woman, and a missing one. We'll bring it some next
well,
time.
Well, you saw
time,
we'll
about
have
subject.
To bring that up next time.
Absolutely.
Because here's the problem. This is maybe why we have people that think it might be better to be a woman, because, and this is a real problem in our society, we are trashing men in general, and white men are like this. The deplorables of the earth. So, you know, if you listen to the things that are said, yeah, if I am a boy, a young teenage boy, and I'm going to grow up in a world that hates white men, and I'm a white teenage boy, maybe
hey,
I'd rather
I forgot,
be a girl.
Christy, the fourth. I remember the fourth.
Yes. What is that?
You have to be black. Black, Democrat,
oh,
women,
okay.
Muslim. Oh,
there
you get...
Go.
As a matter of fact, if you're a black Democrat, woman, Muslim, and you commit a crime, if you're a Congress, they will promote you. They will make you a senator. If you're a representative, they make you a senator. If you're a senator, well, they'll make you a governor. They'll make you something, I don't know. They make you a vice president. All right, Christy, let's move on. Anyway, so that's what happened in India. And by the way, Christy, this is what's happening in the Muslim world all the time. But we never hear about it here. For parents to behead their children, it's very normal, especially if she was, you know, having something immoral with some other guy.
I want to ask you a question, Usama. We didn't talk about this beforehand, but what we're seeing right now is a lot of animosity, hostility, and aggression coming from countries that have in the past been considered not, you know, our greatest friends. So we have China insulting our American ambassador who went to meet with them in Alaska. We have Iran defying America right now. We have North Korea that refuses to have a conversation with Joe Biden. He's reportedly called them or tried to contact them, and they refused to speak to him. So we have all this going on.
Are you
so
surprised?
Let me,
hey, Christy. I,
no, I'm
surprised?
Not. I have a question. I'm leading up to a question.
Sure.
So
sure.
What are your thoughts? Is it possible that we will see more aggression from Muslim countries now? And will we possibly have a rise in terror attacks?
Well, it is very normal. According to the word of Allah in the Quran, Muslims, when they are weak, they are peaceful. Quran 47:35, the word of Allah is very clear. So do not be weak. Call him for peace when you have the upper hand. Normally, as I wrote in my new book, that when you have a Democrat in the White House, that means Muslims are strong. That means America is weak. I remember the first thing Mr. Obama did, traveling to the Muslim world, bowing down to the Saudi king, King Fahd, and traveling to the Muslim world, praising Allah, praising the Quran, and Allah said, and Muhammad said, and he literally gives the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda and the Mullah of Iran and Al-Shabaab in Somalia and Boko Haram in Nigeria and Hezbollah and Fatah and Hamas in Lebanon and in Gaza. He gives them all sum up. Go for it. Get it? You are right now on it. Instead of he will talk to the Iranian, he just gives them $152 billion, and they promise him they're not going to make this nuclear bomb. They're not going to run their transfusion system to make that uranium-238 to make the nuclear bombs, which means, and they promise, Christy, for 10 years, Christy, okay? The promise is kept for 10 years. By the way, they were still making the 238 uranium while they're counting the money we're giving.
They were.
So it's a joke. So when you have a Democrat, you can see it, Christy, the difference between Obama and Trump and the difference between Trump and Biden. I'm expecting in the next 2 years, 3 years, maybe next year, about 2 years, there's going to be a lot of terrorist attack. And I'm expecting that John Kerry will repeat what he did with Mr. with Mr. Obama by giving more money to the Muslim world and bring more Muslim refugees to America and build schools and colleges all over the Muslim world because they believe, Chris, the problem with terrorism is they're uneducated, they're poor, they misunderstand the Quran, and they're crazy. And we can fix all that by giving them lots of money and build them schools and teach them. We, the American, will teach them Islam is love, Islam is peace. While they're beheading our people, we'll tell them Islam is love, Islam is peace. We'll teach them that. And if anybody speaks against it, that means we're crazy. So you and I will be called crazy in the near future if we say anything wrong about Muslim or Islam. And besides that, Islam is love, Islam is peace. End of story. We're weak, they're strong. End of story.
Well, here's the concern about these migrants coming in across the border, because we know they're not just coming from Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras. We have thrown the doors open. I saw stories all over the internet talking about these refugees, they're illegal immigrants coming to the border. And I'm going to tell you, some of them were looking pretty vicious, and many, many of them are young men in their teens, maybe early 20s. And we've talked before about Muslims integrating in. The Border Patrol people have seen this before because they appear like they could be, you know, with Egyptian or from the Middle East. So,
Christy, when I go to Orlando, if I go to Kissimmee area, or I go downtown Orlando, if I go to Miami, if I go to, I mean, different places in Florida where we have large number of Mexico or Puerto Rican, I'm not kidding you, I go inside the stores to buy something or a restaurant to eat, and immediately they speak to me in Spanish. I don't look Egyptian. I look Mexican. A lot of people think I'm a Mexican. So I can bring to America 5-10 million young men in their 20s and 30s, and they will come to this country thinking, everyone thinks they're Spanish. Nobody will figure it out. They're not, they're Egyptian. And we got already some Muslim from Yemen through the border. And as a matter of fact, I'm already talking to some of my family members who've been waiting for eight or 10 years to come to America. And because of the coronavirus, it's just taken forever. The coronavirus slow things badly. And I'm already talking with them on the phone. I said, hey, just forget about your visa. Come to Mexico. And then when you come to the border, tell them I want to go to my cousin or to my uncle or to my, my nephew who live in whatever, my relationship to them, who live in Missouri. They will actually bring you all the way into my house here for free. And you're going to have the status of a refugee, which means you don't have to work. You're going to have all the health care and the food stamp and the housing allowances. We'll buy a nice house near me here with the help of the government. This is exactly what's happening, Christy. I got family members for 8 to 10 years waiting to get the right interview to finish the paperwork to come to America legally. Their neighbors, the Muslims, are coming to America without anything. Need an interview. What do you need to wait 10 years for?
I think that's an important distinction because you're talking about your family members and having to wait. It's important to mention that your family members are Christians. And like all the other Christians who try to come from Muslim countries, Muslim-majority countries, they can't get out and come because they are only letting Muslims come.
Exactly.
And so it's a huge problem.
If they're coming from Syria right now, if they're coming from Somalia, if they're coming from Nigeria, if they're coming from different countries where they have some crisis and war right now, if you're a Christian, good luck to come to America as a refugee. If you're a Muslim, for sure, you'll be in front of the line and you'll be here in no time. And
because
God bless Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, as they're doing a great job to make sure that we will pass all the laws, help these people, refugees, to come to America. Ilhan Omar herself, she should not be in America. Her paperwork to come to America is fraudulent. She lied. Omar is not her father. Right. The woman commit crime enough for 18 years in prison, and she served her second term, and the third and the fourth term is yet to come. Anyway.
Remember that Obama, what he did is he stirred up all this warfare going on in the Middle East, so that then what they did is instead of helping the Christians who were being slaughtered in these wars, he said, and being forced into refugee camps, he said, oh, we have to bring all these Syrian refugees here. We have to bring these
sure.
Iraqi refugees here. And they were all Muslim.
Sure.
That's who he brought.
Well, they were actually like 98% Muslims, 2% are Christian. Okay,
but I have
to remember that. But the slaughter was to the Christian, not to the Muslim, unless the Muslim
exactly.
was hypocrites or what do you call them, those who refused to join ISIS.
Because they were killing their own. They were killing their own. But that's because Muslim fighting against Muslim, and they will kill you if you're not going to be a jihadist.
And Christy, if this will be the policy of the USA to bring Muslims to America because they're unsettled, their war, the civil war in their country, well, you need to have at least a good 700 million Muslims coming to America. Why? Because half of the Muslim countries are in war. Well, among themselves, you have to bring them all to America. And which one are you going to bring? The Shia or the Sunni?
Yeah, and this is important because people forget this. I mean, some people weren't very old when this started and when it was happening, but people forget that all these wars that Obama triggered and started, this Arab Spring junk and this getting rid of the Egyptian president, Hosni Mubarak, all this stuff that was triggered over there started this refugee onslaught bringing Muslims to America. In Somalia, they bring Muslims to America. So when I'm watching these refugees come across the border, we know that people from other countries are going to come. And you know what? If your Christian family comes, I would be fine with that. But if we have Muslim jihadists coming to bring terrorism into America, that is a whole different matter. And they just hide themselves in the middle of these.
By the way, Chrissy, my family, the member of my family who are trying to come, they're not coming on a refugee case. No, they're coming with their own money. They're rich. They're not broke. And when they come to America, they do not need the help to buy a house. They can afford to buy one or two or three houses in America, and they're just persecuted in Egypt. And and I hate to talk about it anymore for this radio broadcast. Anyway, so I'm not saying that my family is going to come to be refugees.
No.
We do not need fund or help from the U.S. government. I myself have been living in this country now for 30 years, and I never received a dime from Uncle Sam.
Right.
And these two checks Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden is giving me, I know I'm paying them three times back. So they give me $600. I already paid last month. I'm just finishing my taxation last year. Oh, Mr. Doctor, you still owe $5,600. I said, just take the money. Take the money. I don't even know why I need to. I'm not a rich guy. Why do I need to pay all the taxes? So just take it. Okay. Pay the taxes. So they're going to give me $1,400 and they're going to take it $2,800. Most likely.
Well,
anyway.
You're going to see your gas prices go up. They say estimate that at least $1,600.
$1.10 extra gallon right now.
Well, they're saying, this is such a fraud because the $1,400 they're giving you of your tax money, it isn't even going to be enough to compensate for the increase in the gas prices over the next year that the average American is going to
pay. You know what's
going to
happen, Christy? I believe the only one who benefits from these checks, not the money they wasted, the $1.7 billion wasted.
Yeah, the rest of it.
The only one benefits from this is the poor people who do not pay taxes anyway. If you give them $100, you give them $1,000. It doesn't make a difference. But when you give it to a guy like me, driving his car and fill my tank, $38 instead of $19, that's a joke.
Yeah.
I don't need
$600. Think of your truck drivers who deliver groceries to your grocery store. All of these things are going up. The prices of everything will go up. And this is
I stopped by McDonald's last week coming from Minnesota. So So I stopped at McDonald's, the only place open up at 12 o'clock. And I got a sandwich and a French fries and a soft drink. And my bill was $13.89. $14. So I told the lady, how long have you been working here? Oh, for 10 years. I said, how much that meal was 4 years ago, 3 years ago? She said it was roughly around $6, $7. I said, why did I pay $14 for the same meal? She said, well, they pay us $15 an hour. I said, that makes sense. That makes sense. So it's not you're raising the ladies who work in McDonald's. You're stealing the whole country.
Yeah.
And of course, the truck, which is going to carry the food to McDonald's, it costs more money. The driver costs me, make more money. And the diesel is expensive and the gas is expensive. And insurance is going to be going up and the food will go up and everything will go up. So we think, hey, they help us with $1,200. I don't need the $1,200. Leave the economy alone. No.
Well, how about if they let people go back to work and stop giving people this extra money to not work? Oh, we've added $300 a week for unemployment. Originally, the bill that was put together by the Democrats was $600 a week. We have people here in Mississippi. They have never made that much money in their lives. But, you know, I was proud of the fact that a lot of Mississippians went to work anyway. You know, my daughter worked. Yeah. They never went on unemployment. But we were seeing that, good grief, you can make more money than you ever made in your life here in Mississippi if you just went on unemployment. It's crazy.
You know, this word unemployment, it means nothing to me because I work for myself all my life. I never worked for anybody. Nobody write me a check. I literally work between me and customer. I used to be in construction, you know that. And now for the last 20 years doing this ministry, and I'm thankful for the Lord because God is good. God's good. But I don't know. I never received a dime from Uncle Sam in any help, shape, or form. And these are the only two checks I got from Uncle Sam. One is a $600, and the other one, which is coming up, I believe we're going to get it the next time. And I said, I don't need that money. I wish if they leave everything else the same, I will refuse the check. But guess what? If I don't take you don't have to take it.
You're
still going to pay it anyway.
You're going to need it to cover the extra cost. Let's move on. But I was glad you commented about the terrorism problem and what we might see because of the weakness of this administration. They are showing nothing but weakness, and it is inviting our enemies to come after us.
When we are weak, Muslims are strong, and trust me, they will benefit from Joe Biden more than anybody else. That's why. All Muslims of America, all Muslims of America voted for Joe Biden. Not once, who knows, maybe 5, 6, 10 times, who knows? Can you imagine if somebody would investigate the number of Muslims who voted for Biden and how many times they voted for him? God help us. Anyway, I want to move on to a little bit study, Chris. Do you have anything else before we move to our study?
Nope.
Good, good. Go to Quran chapter 53. If you don't mind, and it is one of this poetry of the Quran, which have what they call short verses. Every verse has three or four words in the Arabic language. Verse 23 is a little bit bigger, but obviously we know that is the new verses. Verse 23, which is the replacement of the satanic verses which Muhammad used to have there. And then, you know what? We don't even have to get into the whole book because we don't have time for it. Let's just read the first four verses.
Okay, of chapter 53, you kind of lost me when you were talking about 20, right? First one?
No. I was going to go through the whole chapter, but we don't have time for it. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know what you were talking about. Okay, I got lost going 23. I thought you said one. Okay. I swear by the stars. No, excuse me. Let me start over again. I swear by the star when it goes down. Your companion has not erred, nor was he seduced. And he does not speak out of the desire. It is only a revelation that is revealed. The strong in power.
Got him.
Okay.
Okay. Let's stop here. I want to talk about just first of all, one of the amazing things about Allah in the Quran, when Allah swear by things, Allah swear by the fig tree, Allah swear by the olive tree, Allah swear by the sun and the moon and the stars and everything. Here, Allah is swearing by the star. Now, if you look for the word star in the Muslim scholars here, you can't help but to laugh, because someone says the star here is actually the Quran when he came down on Muhammad. No, the Quran did not say Quran, because when Allah wants to swear by the Quran, as in the case of chapter Kaf, which is chapter Q in English, Allah swear by the Quran and the glorious Quran, Kaf and well Quran al-Kareem. If you go with me, Christy, to Surah Qaf, and Surah Qaf, I'll tell you in a minute, is chapter 50. Can you go to chapter 50? Just a few chapters from where you're at right now.
Okay, well, I will do that. I don't have a bounce because I'm on the computer. Chapter 50.
That's okay.
Hold on
50.
Here.
We are in 53, so you're going to go back three
right.
chapters, that's all.
I got you. I'm doing that, but scrolling is not a good way to do it. Okay, chapter 50. Go ahead.
What do we have in verse 1? How Allah started that chapter?
Q, I swear by the glorious Quran.
Okay. Of course, Q is a joke. Why? Because we learn from Muslim scholars, Q is a huge mountain surrounding the earth. It's 2,000 years to go to the top of the mountain and 1,000 years to cross the bottom. If you put a crown on it, it will take you literally 1,000 years to cross. And, of course, that's a joke because no such a mountain exists around the earth, but surrounding the earth. But here Allah is swear by the Quran. But in Quran chapter 53, Allah does not swear by the Quran. Allah swear by the star. Which star? When it falls. Now, Allah swear by the Quran, that makes sense. It's his word. In the Bible, God swear by himself, because God will not swear by something less than who he is. But here, God, the God of Muhammad, small G-O-D, is swearing by the star, as he swear by everything ridiculous in the Quran. Now, why he's swearing by that star if it falls? Read for us verse 2 one more time.
Verse 2, your companion has not erred, nor was he seduced.
Literally, Allah want to tell us that Muhammad is not going crazy. Muhammad was not seduced. Does he need to swear by a star to tell us that? Even if we say that the word star here is actually, he meant the Quran. Allah will swear by the Quran that Muhammad is not crazy for giving us the Quran. This was his most secular reasoning, Christy. I swear by Usama, he's not, I will not swear by Usama. I swear by the book Usama wrote that Usama is not crazy. Really? If you think Usama is crazy because of his book, how can he swear by the book that Usama is not crazy?
That's kind of crazy.
This is foolishness. This is foolishness.
Yeah.
So Muhammad was not astray, did not go astray, and Muhammad was not seduced. Why is that? Verse 3.
And he does not speak out of the desire.
Really? What if I show you in the same chapter right now we're in, that Muhammad, while he's reciting the Quran, he desires for his people, the people of Christ, to become Muslims. That's why Satan, literally, in the same chapter, Chris, I'm not even going any far away.
Wow.
Let's go to verse 20. Let's go to verse 20. The interpretation of Muslims called in the same chapter. Let's go to 19, 20, 21.
Have you seen Alat and Al-Azza and another, the third one, Manat?
Why Muhammad mentions the three gods of Christ? Go read the scholar interpretation to the same verse from the same chapter. Because Muhammad was desiring. He was seduced by Satan. And he mentioned the following verse, these are the exalted ones whom intercession is to be hoped for. So Muhammad spoke highly of Alat, Wal-Uzza, Wal-Manat. These are three gods worshipped by the people of Christ. And because he was desiring for his people to become Muslim, Satan seduced him and caused him to mention these three gods and speak highly of them. Then Allah abrogated this as the exalted one whose intercession is to be hoped for. After he did that, all the people of Christ shouted, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Muhammad mentioned our God in the Quran, and they all became Muslims. And Muhammad prayed, and they prayed, and he recited these verses in his prayer, and he bowed down, and they all bowed down. And we have a interfaith meeting. The infidels of Christ, who worship Allah, to Al-Uzza, Al-Manah, and Muhammad, and the Muslims, all holding hands and singing Kumbaya. Why these satanic verses was given to Muhammad is because he was desiring. He was desiring to see his people. He was hoping to see his people believe in him. That's why Satan seduced him. But when you read verse 2, it said he was not seduced. Excuse me. How in the world in verse 2 you said he was not seduced when in the original Quran he was seduced by Satan and he wrote these satanic verses? Did you see the contradiction here, Christy?
Yeah, he's saying that... Yeah, I do. I understand.
Okay. It's like me traveling in Alaska. And I'm in my car, and in the middle of the road there is no sign, and I got lost. And then Allah will say, I swear by the book Usama wrote that Usama is not lost. And I'm lost. I don't even know where I am. That's exactly. Muhammad was seduced. Muhammad was lost. Muhammad, verse 2 is the lie from Allah concerning what happened in verse 20. Now, he said, verse 3 what? What he said in verse 3?
And he does not speak out of the desire.
But what he said in verses 19, 20, 20, the satanic verses, it was from the desire. He was desiring. Now, why all that? Because in verse 4 we read what?
It is only a revelation that is revealed.
Oh, the Quran is a revelation. Just yesterday, I was watching a video, somebody sent it to me, and it's about a man by the name Ahmed Didat. Well, Ahmed Didat, to the Muslim of the Middle East, he's considered as a scholar. But if Ahmed Didat lived in Muhammad days, Muhammad would have beheaded him. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, would have beheaded him, killed him on the spot, because he is not a true Muslim. He's Ahmadi. He believes things Muslims do not teach. But because Ahmadidat from South Africa made some debate and get some lecture and he talked like a scholar, the man does not even speak Arabic. Wait a minute, Usama. We saw his debates. He used Arabic words all the time. We saw his lecture. He always quotes the Quran in Arabic. He memorized it, but he does not speak Arabic. Can you imagine when I give you a scholar, Christy, a scholar of Islam, who quotes the Quran right and left in the Arabic language, but in the same time, if you sit to have a cup of coffee with him, and he says, so how's it going? Hey, dude, what's going on? What's up with you? Are you okay? Your wife is okay? Your kids is okay? You say, I'm sorry, I don't speak Arabic. I don't understand what you're saying. That's a scholar.
Wow.
The best debater. I love what Anis Shirush did to him in the last debate. Literally, Anis Shirush made shish kebab out of him, a Palestinian friend of mine. He's now in heaven, praise God. He have a wonderful life and successful ministry. He wrote some wonderful books. I have them in my library. Now, Ahmed Didat is not a scholar, but Ahmed Didat, using that verse 4 and verse 5, that it is only a revelation was revealed to him. The Quran is a revelation from Allah revealed to him. If that's true, how can Allah, in his revelation, allow Satan to squeeze few verses in the middle of the Quran in the same chapter, Christy? I'm not talking about chapter 52 or chapter 54. In chapter 53, by the name of the star. In the same chapter, we know that Satan has revealed to Muhammad in the same chapter. Now, what is the Quran? That's what I would like to talk about tonight, and I don't think we have enough time to do what I really wish to do with this chapter. The Quran is a stolen revelation. When I say stolen revelation, that's like you take it from other sources and you squeeze it in your book in a poetry form. What is new in the Quran Muhammad came up with from himself? Even that poetry we're reading right now, that chapter here, the poetry we're reading now, when you go down it all the way to the end, there's nothing. There's no message. There is no message, Christy. Okay, do me a favor, Christy. Read the next 10 verses. Just read them. I'm not going to stop you. Read the next 10 verses, and you tell me, what did you learn? What did you get
out? Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, starting with verse 5?
Yes, ma'am. From 5 to 15.
Okay.
Good. Go
ahead. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The strong in power has taught him a possessor who went by him, so he sat. And he is on the highest part of the horizon. Then he came near, so he came down. So he was at the distance of two bows or closer. So he revealed to his servants what he revealed. The heart did not lie what it saw. Will you dispute with him of what he saw? And indeed, he also saw him another time near Sidrat, the end. It is the garden of refuge.
No. What did you learn, Christy? I'm talking right now. You're not somebody who drinks camel urine. I know that. You're a very intelligent woman. You're not stupid. You have some logic. You have common sense. And you were talking about the revelation of the Quran. What did we learn from the previous 15 verses so far? Did you learn anything?
Somebody was up and somebody was close and somebody went down.
Thank you so much.
I have no idea.
You know what is so amazing now? You know what's so amazing? When I go to Muslim scholars' interpretation to these words which you just read, they always give you four different opinions, five different opinions, 10 different opinions, and you choose which one you like because you don't know what Muhammad was talking about.
You don't. It's crazy.
I'm not kidding you. When I looked at the word star, they already have three different interpretations for the word star. Let me read it to you. I'm just going to pick up, for example, Al-Tabari. Al-Tabari said, when Najmu is a hawa, and the star when it go down, okay, اختلف أهل التأويل. The interpreter disagreed. Can you imagine every verse, the most repeated word in the interpretation of all Muslim scholars is the word اختلف, which means disagree. Muslim scholars disagree. The interpreter disagree. How in the world you can tell me that's a clear book everybody can understand? Anybody can understand.
No way. There is no way.
What does Allah mean by the word star? Some say a saraya. Alif lam. Fih rah ya alif. Do you know what saraya means, Christy? I have no idea what saraya means.
No, I don't know either.
Somebody said that the star here is actually the Quran. And somebody says the saraya. Let me give you another one. I mean, if Muslim scholars do not know what came down, the Quran or a star or saraya or what? What is it? Ibn Tawus. Oh, listen to this. In the interpretation of Ibn Amr on Qatada, Qatada is one of the great Muslim scholars, said that Muhammad, Tala wa Najm is Hawa. Muhammad was reading that chapter here. And the star, when it fall down. فَقَالَ إِبْنِ أَبِي لَهَبْ Abi Lahab is the uncle of Muhammad. His son, which is now his cousin, he said what? كَفَرْتُ بِرَبِّ النَّجْمِ I became an infidel with the Lord of the Star. So Muhammad said to him, you know what? اِحْذَرْ لَيَكُلْ لَكَ كَلْبَ اللَّهِ Be careful, for the dog of Allah will eat you. He's warning him now. He's one of his own cousins. Because you do not believe in the Lord of my star here, of my Quran, you will be eaten by the dog of Allah. Now, فَضَرَبَ هَمَتِي قَالَ فَضَرَبَ هَمَتِي قَالَ وَقَالَ ابْنَ تَوُوسٍ لَا 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 He went out with a bunch of his guys, and while they're together, they heard the sound of a lion. You know, the lion makes that sound.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
He said now, his own cousin, oh, it is. He is asking for me. He want to kill me. So they all gathered around him so to protect him from the lion. Well, guess what? The lion went in the midst of them, and he took him, and he ate them. He ate his cousin. What is this?
Where does that come from?
It's what Muslims can do is they make up stories. I love it because one time
it was
me and my brother. It was me and my brother are studying some verses in the Quran. We just decided we need to study some material, and we're reading just a simple verse. And I said, "Well, do you know what he's talking about?" He said, "Well, let's go to Ibn Kathir or al-Tibri, so to read." And I'm not kidding you. We read like a couple, three pages to understand a simple verse. Halfway, like we read two pages, there's still two more pages to go. I looked at my brother. My brother looked at me, and we started laughing. And I said, "Do you know why I'm laughing?" He said, "No." He told me, I said, "I'm laughing because I do not know what was the verse. We forgot the verse." And he laughed even more and more. He fell on the ground because he moved from the chair to the floor, fall on the ground laughing. He said, "Because that is the same problem I have. I cannot remember what was the verse." Can you imagine when you read Muslim scholars' interpretation to a simple verse in the Quran and you read two pages and then you forgot what the verse, you have to remind yourself that you're trying to understand a verse in the Quran, a simple verse. They take
you
your circles. They tell you, they tell you stories, a different opinion, and good luck.
I remember when I was helping you research something and I'd watch you do that, reading
page after page
in Arabic, trying to figure out what they were
and
talking
I said,
about.
Christy, what was the question? What was the topic? I can't even remember. Anyway, so here's the Quran, which is revelation. How can it be revelation? I said the Quran is a stolen book because when you read a story in the Quran, it makes some sense, like when you hear the story of Adam, Noah, Moses, Abraham, the biblical stories. Well, guess what? These stories are stolen from the Bible. When you read the story about Zulkarnain, Alexander the Great, okay? Well, guess what? That's stolen from a fraud book. There are plenty of books written about Alexander the Great, except one. I go to 150 or 200 years before Muhammad. And Muhammad heard the story from that counterfeit history book, and he copies that book in his Quran, which he make Alexander the Great a good prophet, a messenger, travel the east and the west, and he do good. And all, even the name Zulkarnain, the one with the two horns, that was the only book which mentioned Alexander the Great to be Zulkarnain. So Muhammad is stealing that story from that book. How about in the same chapter 18? We'll learn about the young men who slept for 309 years. They were Christian, persecuted. They went to bed in a cave, and they wake up 309 years later. Well, that story is a made-up story. We know the author. And Muhammad is stolen the story. So the Quran is not a revelation revealed to Muhammad, but the Quran is stolen stories or dumb poetry without any point. If you want to really enjoy reading the Quran, you go to chapter 70 down, okay? You got a good 40 chapters or 45 chapters. When you read them, Christy, one chapter after another, you will get no point. Literally, you will get no point. Let me give you an example here. Open your Quran, Christy. Go to the short chapters in the end, okay? Let's go to chapter, go to chapter 80. I'm just pick up any chapter to show you the beauty of the Quran.
Okay.
Go to chapter 80 and read to me
how
much you will learn from that chapter, because when you get to the end, the chapters are four verses, five verses. There's hardly too much words in it.
Okay.
So, go ahead, read to us what we have here in that chapter. That's a big chapter, by the way. That is a big chapter.
Okay.
Go ahead.
He frowned and turned away when the blind man came to him. And what do you know? Perhaps he will be purified. Or will he be reminded, so the reminder will profit him? But as for him who is self-sufficient, so to him you have given all of your attention. And it is not your concern if he is not purified. And as for him who came to you striving, and while he is fearing, so you distracted yourself from him. Certainly not. Surely this is a reminder. So whosoever wishes will remember it. In honored pages of writings, lifted up, purified by the hands of the Sephara, noble, righteous. Killed is the human. There is no one more infidel than he. From what thing did he create him? He created him from Nutfa, so he estimated him. Then he made his way easy. Then he caused him to die, so bury him. Then, if he wills, he raises him to life. Certainly not, but he did not fulfill what he commanded him. So let the human look at his food. We poured out the water, pouring. Then the crack, the earth cracking. So we knew it was grain and grapes and clover and the olives and the palm trees and abundant gardens and fruit and abd. Enjoyment for you and for your livestock. So when the deafening shout comes, a day the man will flee from his brothers and his mother and his father and his female companion and his sons. To each man on that day, his own concerns will be sufficient. And faces on that day will be bright, laughing, giving good news. And faces on that day will be with dust on them. Darkness will cover them. Those are the infidels, the wicked. Hello?
Christy, no, here's my question for you. Yeah, my question for you. What did you learn from that chapter? How about nothing?
Okay.
How about nothing?
I honestly don't even know what you're talking about.
You got lost. But when you go to the Muslim scholars' invitation, they would disagree. They'll give you a different opinion. Which one do you like? No, let's give you a smaller chapter, okay, a little bit smaller. Let's go to Quran chapter 105. 105. It says the elephant, all right? We'll talk about the elephant now, Christy. You know about the elephant?
Well, the not yet. I'm scrolling,
You know the elephant. Have you ever
I know what an elephant is, yes, of course.
All right. Let's read chapter 105 to see. Is this really a revelation from Allah?
All right, let's read it.
Yeah.
Have you not seen what your Lord did with the companions of the fil? Is that an elephant?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Did he not make their schemes go astray? And he sent birds in the ababil, that's flock, on them. They cast rocks made of baked clay on them. So he made them as devoured straw.
Well, did you learn anything here, Christy? That's a chapter in the Quran. Muslims use this as a prayer. Now, let me give you a better one. Go down a little bit. Let's go to 108. 108.
All right.
Yes,
the abundance. Okay,
yes,
here
indeed.
We are.
Yes.
Surely we have given you the abundance. So pray to your Lord and sacrifice. Surely whoever hates you will be childless.
Wow. This must be the word of Allah. This must be the word of Allah. And if you don't believe it,
chapter.
You need some help. Yeah, it's a whole chapter. Yes, indeed.
Lord.
Yes, indeed. Okay, let's get to the next one. How about read the next one? The next one is much easier. It's easy to understand. Yeah.
109. The infidel.
Yeah.
Say, O you, the infidels, I do not serve what you serve, and you do not serve what I serve, and I will not serve what you have served, and you will not serve what I serve. To you, your religion, and to me is my religion.
Wow, that makes sense, Christian. Okay. That's a good chapter because Allah is speaking to the infidels. Who is the infidels? It's the people of Christ. And Muhammad is telling them, I do not serve what you serve, and you do not serve what I serve, and you're not going to serve what I serve. And I will not serve what you serve, and you will not serve what I serve to you, your religion, and to me, my religion, okay? What is the problem with that chapter? In verse 5, read verse 5 for me, Christy. What verse 5 said?
And you will not serve what I serve.
That is Allah speaking in the future tense. The infidels of Christ will never serve what Muhammad served. They will never serve Allah. This is what happened after that chapter was written, a few months after that chapter was written.
They killed him?
No, all the people of Mecca who survived the sword of Muhammad became Muslims, and they served Allah.
Oh,
so Allah
yes.
does not
so
even
he
know
was
the
wrong.
Future. It's
oh.
a false prophecy. So even when you
he
read that chapter,
wrong.
Maybe make some sense. That's not a revelation. That's not exactly Christian.
Well,
that's
I didn't read your note there to tell me what this is about. I just read the
verse.
If
how
you
about
have
verse
Usama's
six?
Quran, he has the notes to explain to you. Okay.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. How about verse 6? When
verse
Allah
six
says, to you religion and to me religion, that verse itself is abrogated. So,
that's right.
So what do we have in that chapter? We have nothing.
Nothing.
Is Allah
it's all irrelevant.
Infidels, you don't worship what I worship. You don't serve what I serve. And you
you'll
will
never
serve
be
Allah.
Muslim,
was wrong because
they
served
were.
Allah. They became Muslim. And
yeah.
now, to
wow.
your religion, to my religion, no, it's also canceled because now whoever desires any religion except Islam will not be accepted for him. Quran chapter 3, 85.
Right.
And Muhammad compels him to accept Islam. So what we have here, we have sets of poetry. Sometimes it's just 3 verses. Sometimes there are 15 verses, and you read and you read, and there's no point. There's no common sense. There's no story. There's no message. But it's revelation. So the only thing I can say about the Quran, it is a stolen revelation when it is copied from other books. That does not make it the word of Allah. If Allah is God, as Muslims claim. When you copy it, you know what? If Muhammad brought this story from his own head, something new we never heard of in the Bible, that's, yes, a new revelation. But everything Muhammad wrote in the Quran coming out of the Bible, it is stolen material. You cannot do that, Christy, in college. You know what happened? If you write a paper in college and the professor discovered that your material is copied from other people, other students, you know what they call this in college?
Yes, plagiarism.
Would the teacher let you pass? Would
no,
you get an
you
A
fail.
Or a B or a C
you,
or a D?
You
what
fail.
Do
you
get?
You fail
yeah.
if you plagiarize material.
So now
unless,
I give Muhammad, and all the stories which he copied from the Bible, I give an F. Now from the poetry he wrote himself, the small verses here and there, I give him what? I give an F. Why? Because I couldn't understand what he's talking about. Or he's giving me false prophecy. Muhammad, Allah and Muhammad, in chapter 109, verse 5 here, fell the test of to be called a true prophet because he prophesied and his prophecy was not fulfilled. The opposite took place. This verse will be true. Muhammad will be a true prophet. If I go with you right now, you and I, Christy, in Mecca, and we find in Mecca nobody except idol worship. If we find any of the people of Mecca are Muslim believers, then that verse was not fulfilled. Why? Because Allah said, and you will not serve what I serve. That's future tense, Christy. You know what future tense means?
Yeah,
what?
I got you.
Any time in the future.
Right.
From now until Christ come back. Now, can you and I go today to Mecca?
No.
Physically. Can you and I physically
no.
right now fly and go to Riyadh Airport and from Riyadh Airport take a bus? Or a text and going back. We can't. Why? Because there is no place there for infidels. But Allah here in verse 5 said,
mm-hmm.
exactly. But Allah here in verse 5 of Quran 109 is telling me that the people of Mecca will never serve Allah. You will not. Well means the future.
Well, that's but. Interesting because of the title, the infidels, and it's like completely the opposite. Wow.
It's a false message. It's a false. I'm talking, that's a good chapter. I can understand that chapter, but if you go to any of the following chapters, I mean, before and after, there's the last 40 chapters, they're all small chapters, and I have no idea what Muhammad is talking about. Let's talk about, let me give you another chapter here to give you an idea. Well, Al-Qari'ah. Let's go to verse chapter 100. Let's go to 100. See what we have in 100.
Okay, let me get to 100. Look.
There's more chapters. Do not take far away to move to.
No, I got you.
Sure.
But I still have to scroll to get to it. Okay. I swear by the snorting chargers, so those who ignite sparks of the fire, so those who attack in the morning, raising the dust with it, so we went together through the middle of it. Surely the human is ungrateful to his Lord, and surely he is a witness of that, and surely he loves wealth excessively. Do they not know if what is in the graves are scattered, and what is in the chests will come forth? Surely their Lord is expert on that day.
What is the message, Christy?
I have no clue. I thought...
Where is the revelation? Where is the revelation in the chapter? No, you may think, well, Brother Usama, you need to read the scholar interpretation, because if you don't read the scholar interpretation, how do you know it? I read to you what I have here. Al-Qawl fi Tawil Ta'ala wal-Adiyati Sibahan ikhtalaf Ahli Tawil. Here we go. The interpreter disagreed. To understand chapter 1, verse 1, in chapter 100, it starts with ikhtalaf. It disagrees. So it could be a million things.
Yeah, what is it? What is
it? Could be the horse
charger.
Okay. He meant the horses. Al khayl allati ta'du. Okay? I can give you a different interpretation. I'll go down here. Wal adiyati subahan qala al khayl tadbahu. Then go down a little more. I mean, literally, here al ibn. Some say it is the horses. Others say, no, it is the camels. So what do you want this to be, Christy? Camel or horses? What do you prefer? Allah does not know what he's talking about. And Muslim scholars do not know. They disagree. Let me go down a little bit more. I guarantee you. Some say horses. Some say camels. And let me give you another interpretation. Yazif al-Dabah. I don't know what is Dabah. Al-Dabah, let me see what is the word Dabah is. That's another interpretation. Word, I do not know what it is. But it's very simple. We're going to put it here in Arabic on God bless Mr. Google. Al-Dabah. Slaughter. It's not a Zabah. Even the dictionary does not know how to put the right words. He think a Zabah, slaughtering. Well, anyway. So what I'm trying to say, Christy, when Muslim scholars disagree, what Allah meant by what he said, how in the world you can tell me that's a revelation for a man? If I'm going to write you a letter, Christian, just think with me for a minute. I'm going to write you a letter. I love you so much. I'm going to give you some structure, some good material, a book which is going to lead you to have eternity in paradise. When I write you a book, you need an interpreter to tell you what every word meant, or it will be written clear. When I write your book, when I don't even tell the scholars what it means, imagine. Okay, we need to understand some of the verses in the Bible. So that's why we go to Christian and Jewish theologians, and they will help us understand some of the best in the Bible. I understand that. But can you imagine with me, when even the theologian and the Christian scholar and the Christian and Jewish theologian scholars do not have a clue what I'm talking about? What kind of God do you think I am? A God of confusion?
Oh, yeah.
If your eternity depends on that book, the Quran, and it is the final word of Allah, and it is clear, easy to understand, as Muhammad stated all over the Quran, why do I need scholar who will not even understand what they're talking about? And why Allah swear by camels or swear by horses? As I said earlier, if Allah is God, he swore by nothing but by the greatest, himself. Read the Bible. Do we read in the Bible God swear by horses or camel or mule or or donkeys or something? What do we learn in the Bible? God swears by creation. The Bible says that we do not swear by the heaven or the earth. We don't. We the human. But Allah himself in the Quran swear by horses or camels.
Yeah. It's a huge difference between...
The Bible... Look, Christy, this is a good quiz from you for you from now until next Saturday. We're going to continue with the subject next week. Tell me where God in the Bible is swear by creation. And if there is any place in the Bible except God swear by himself, I swear by myself, says the Lord. God will not swear by his creation. God will not swear by dirt or camel or horses or fig or olives. That's what we see in the Quran. Allah swear by nonsense. But in the Bible, when God swear, he said, I swear by myself. Because there's no greater than God to swear by himself. Why in the Quran Allah swear by the mule, donkey, horses, whatever? And you read the rest of the verse. But you see, what you miss, Chris, is this. When you read the Quran in the Arabic language, it has the poetry. And that's why Muslim people love the poetry. والعاديات ضباحا فالموريات قداحا فالمغيرات صباحا فصرنا به نقعا فوسطنا به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير للشديد أفلا يعلم. See, see the poetry here? When you read the Quran in English,
different.
You miss
it,
the poetry. Exactly.
Right.
So Muhammad worked on the in the end of the world, and Muhammad made this beautiful poetry, but there is no message. There is no revelation. I remember one time I closed the story because we only have 2 minutes left. One time I was talking to a Muslim guy, American Muslim, who became a Muslim, and he came to a meeting to meet with me and other Christians from the Middle East. And there were actually four Christians from the Muslim world who used to be Muslim became a Christian. So he came to teach us about the Quran, and he thought if he come and talk with us, he will lead us to Islam. Obviously, he did not know whom he's meeting with. Anyway, to make the long story short, he said, the Quran in the Arabic language is beautiful. The poetry is amazing. So I said to him, oh, that's why you like the Quran? He said, absolutely. I said, so you like the Quran like, إِنِّي أَكْرَهُكَ بِشِدَّةِ إِنِّي أُرِيدُكَ قَتْلًا وَأَرْغَبُ فِي ذَبْحُكَ وَشُرْبُ دِمَاؤُكَ. When I said that to him, he said, see, you see how beautiful the Quran is? Can't you hear it? Can't you see it? His wife, she's from Tunisia. And when his wife heard me saying that, she was so embarrassed. You know why, Christy? Because here's what I said to him in the Arabic language. I hate you so much. I want you dead. I would like to slaughter your throat and drink your blood. And he think that is beautiful. He think that is beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, our time is up, Christy. Our time is up. Thank you for producing this broadcast for today. And look forward to see you next Saturday. And we're going to continue with this study to learn about the Quran. Is it true revelation or is it a different story? Is it revealed from Allah or it is made up by Muhammad? God bless you all.
All right.
Have a wonderful good night. Appreciate you, Christy, and everybody in the chat room. And those who are listening by the phones and... those who listen during the next few days, look forward to see you next Saturday. We'll have
all
a greater time, Lord is willing. Good night.
Thank you, friends. God bless you, Usama. Thank you.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.